We're going to move on to mental health now. Access to primary mental health services is improving, but still has a long way to go. The government spent more than $600 million on the Access and Choice Mental Health Program in the 2019 Wellbeing Budget. Te Hiranga Mahara, the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, says the program is growing, but the number of patients seen is still below the targets. 114,000 people were seen this year, but that's still 40,000 short of the goal. Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission Chief Executive Hayden Wano is with us now. Kia ora, good morning.
Kia ora, good morning. Just a correction, I'm the chairman.
Chairman, my apologies. Okay, we heard there the goal, 40,000 short, that's still a significant amount. What's not happening that should be?
Yeah, so look, we want to acknowledge progress where progress has been done, so that's the first point. But the second point is, as you pointed out, that there are some delays. Some of those delays are because of the pressure on workforce, and our report refers to that. And the second challenge when you look across the different streams of work is that there's a need to build a new kind of capability in some of the work streams. So we've got Kaupapa Māori, you've got Pacific, and you've got youth streams in addition to the general practice settings. So these areas are moving slower, but we've seen some excellent progress in the Kaupapa Māori space, moving from increased by 17 providers and an increase in staff in the last year to June 2022. So it's a combination of those pressures.
Okay, so the wheels are moving. This is good, but you are supposed to roll out be meeting a target of, I think, 210,000 people per year by 2024. Is this a case of just a policy being over promised once again and the delivery just too difficult?
Well, I think it's important that, this isn't a short-term program. The problem we're facing, particularly in workforce, and it's not unique to New Zealand, it's a worldwide problem. It's been decades in the making. And so it's important that we stay focused on building that capability. And again, it's going to take us time. I think that's an important message in addressing this workforce challenge.
Yeah, we had this Ipsos survey out, I think, last week on mental health, and the Sean Robinson at the Mental Health Foundation. I mean, his response to that was that we're failing on mental health, that there is just a failure of the entire response. How would you respond to that as someone who is in charge of running programs to deal with that?
Look, there's no doubt that the system is under pressure. We have workforce challenges and we have an increase in demand. And you'll see that we've provided an additional report looking into the youth space. And we know that, again, in New Zealand and in other developed economies, that there is increased distress on young people. So a combination of forces are coming to bear now. So I think I think we have to turn the conversation around to say, how can we use this this pressure and this urgency to actually do something about it? And that's the focus for Te Hiranga Mahara. What are the kind of solutions we need? We know that we're not going to need sustained leadership over time. We know that some of the workforce challenges can be addressed in the short term by bringing in people with lived experience, peer workforces. We can bring in cultural workforces. Those workforces can be mobilised relatively quickly. In the longer term, we have to have a long-term plan, and it's going to require sustained leadership.
Understand. Just
really, that's where Te Hiranga Mahara wants to...
Okay, just one final question, because last week there was quite a bit of concern about the acute bed situation, the fact that, in fact, the numbers hadn't changed in a number of years, despite all this money being put in at the front lines, if you get my sense. So, are we going to see more pressure on acute services because we can't meet these current targets with those who are coming in with, their first port of call?
I think in the medium term, we're going to see some benefit flow from this program, and that's a medium term issue. I think with regard to access to acute beds, I think we've got to look at it from two perspectives. If we were to put more beds, we would just be and not do anything else. We'd be delaying the challenge that we face. So
it's doing both is the key, isn't it?
Sorry?
It's doing both is the issue, isn't it? You need more acute beds as well as doing the other stuff.
Indeed, that is exactly right. So if we look at people sometimes that are in acute facilities. They're often there because of a lack of alternative arrangements. And we know that there are some good examples. We're established as a watchdog, but we're also...
Hayden, I'm afraid...
We know there are some good examples of alternatives to acute beds that exist around the country. Small in number, we need more of those.
I understand. Hey, Hayden, I'm really sorry to have to cut you off there, and hopefully perhaps we can pick up this conversation again at a later date. We're running short. Got to get to the business news. That's Hayden Hwano there from the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, the chair of that commission.